of Exodus this evening, the book of Exodus, chapter 7. We noted this morning, when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going. And we concluded our sermonette this morning by stressing the fact that as we focus upon the Lord and all that He is, that He is all-powerful, eternal, God keeps His promises, God loves us, and God is fully dependable. If we focus upon the greatness of God and we just simply obey, just do what God has called us to do, God will provide the grace to keep on keeping on. So when the going gets tough, the tough will keep going, because they will focus upon the Lord and they understand this is what God's called me to do, and I just need to do it because God said it. And we see this in the life of Moses with Aaron. Note here in Exodus chapter 7, please, this evening. Exodus chapter 7. I've titled the sermon tonight, A Holy Showdown. And this is what we see from Exodus chapter 7 all the way to chapter 10 with a grand finale in chapters 11 and 12, which we'll save for another time. Let's read Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Verses 1 to 5, and then we will pray. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I commanded thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we bless you. We love you. We're so thankful that you are our God. You are our Lord. And I pray as we study your precious word this evening, cause us to focus upon all that you are in your person, in your workings. And Lord God, in the power of your Spirit, grant us the grace to simply obey you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Back in chapter 6, verse number 13, we see that God resends Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh in order to seek leave and to request of Pharaoh, let my people go. And then we read from verses 14 to 27 of chapter 6, we have within this passage the genealogy of Moses and Aaron. Now, this passage puzzles many as to why this is here. It would seem that God is clearly identifying who will lead God's people out of Egypt, because we see here in verse number 20 that the parents are named. From my recollection and understanding, the first time we know the names of the parents for the first time here in verse number 20 of Moses and Aaron. Note then verse 20, and Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. So God clearly identifies Moses and Aaron because they are the ones that will lead God's people out of bondage and into the land of promise. God gives Moses a renewed command. We note that in verses 28 to 30 of chapter 6. It reads, and it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? So back in chapter 6, verse 13, God tells Moses, you need to go to Pharaoh once again and tell him that God has said, let my people go. And here at the end of chapter 6, God once again affirms to Moses, Moses, you need to go to Pharaoh and tell him that I said, let my people go. And we see from this that God is interested and wants you and I to simply obey him. Obedience, trust and obey. God had called Moses to lead God's people out of bondage, and even though we have a shaky start, God said to Moses, Moses, you need to just do what I've called you to do. So chapter 6 ends with God giving Moses a renewed command to go to Pharaoh. And after hearing Moses' response there in verse number 30, God simply once again tells him to obey. And he recommissions him, and God tells Moses, this is what will happen. Pharaoh will harden his hearts, and as a result, there will be multiple signs and wonders done in Egypt, and in that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord God Almighty. So God tells Moses that Pharaoh will harden his heart, and he gives the reason why there in the third and fourth verse. Now, back in chapter 4, verses 21 to 23, God told Moses from the start about this future ministry before Pharaoh. And he told Moses that Pharaoh will harden his heart. Yet in this, we will see that Pharaoh exercises his own will, and yet at the same time the Bible teaches us that God hardens Pharaoh's heart, yet at the same time Pharaoh hardens his heart. Now it's interesting, if you do a study of this hardening of the heart, you'll note within these chapters that 10 times it reads that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But 9 times it reads that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So 10 times God hardens the heart of Pharaoh, because God is going to manifest his glory and his power before the Egyptians and reveal to God's people that their God is worthy of their fellowship. Their God is worthy of their worship. So we see that God hardens Pharaoh's heart on the one side, 10 times it's mentioned, and yet the Bible teaches us that 9 times Pharaoh hardens his own heart. Now, why the 10 to the 9? Simply because God is always in control. We're not robots. God gives us a free will, but God's will be done. Otherwise, God ceases to be God. And that's why it's 10 to 9, see? That we have a free will to make choices, but God is ultimately in control. And God warned Moses, and Moses, I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. But rest assured, he's going to harden his own heart. But in all of this, I'm going to manifest my glory by revealing my power that I am the one and true and living God. God confirms that Pharaoh, of his own volition, will be stubborn and obstinate. And then we read in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 7 of Exodus that Moses and Aaron obey God. It reads in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, 80 years of age, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. And then we move on to verses 8 to 13. And we have Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. And note what the Bible says in verses 8 to 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, and it became a serpent. When Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But note what the Bible says, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, plural. And yet the Bible says in verse 13, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So we see here in verse number 13 that God hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh has refused to let God's people go. And we see from this point on that God will show his power, his preeminence, his dominance in judging the Egyptians, judging the land of Egypt. And we will see from chapter 7, 8, 9 and 10 and then in 11 and 12 that God will fulfill his promise that he made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 verse number 3, that I will bless those that bless you and I will curse those that curse you. And we will see the evidence of this within these following chapters. God will reveal in these 10 plagues to come that are spelled out from chapter 7 all the way through to chapter 10. God will reveal his power. Note there in chapter 9 verse 16. Exodus chapter 9 verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So within these 10 initial plagues, God will reveal his power. God will not only reveal his power, God will reveal his wrath, his wrath. And God will also reveal his greatness, that God is greater, God is preeminent. His greatness will be evident by God making it very clear that he is the one and true and living God, and he is above and beyond any god worshipped by the Egyptians. The Egyptians were polytheists. In other words, they worshipped many, many gods. Pharaoh was worshipped as a god. But that's the tip of the iceberg. They had many, many gods. And in these 10 plagues, God will make it clear that he is the only true and living God. Note there in chapter 12, verse number 12, please, of Exodus. Exodus 12, 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So these plagues to come that are spelled out from chapters 7 onwards will not only reveal the greatness of God, but they will also accomplish the following. They will assure God's people. They will assure God's people of his love and care in protecting them. God will also punish evildoers. And last but not least, as we've already mentioned, he will reveal the vanity of worshipping false gods. So we have in chapter 7 to chapter 10, three groups of three plagues. And then the 10th plague, which is the grand finale, spelled out in chapters 11 and 12. Now, it's commonly accepted by most commentators that these main plagues took place over a period of some 9 months, where God reveals his power, God hardens the heart of Pharaoh, yet at the same time, Pharaoh hardens his own heart, and in this, God reveals his power, God reveals his wrath, God reveals his greatness before not only the Hebrews, but also before the Egyptians. And beloved, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, when we strike difficulties in our Christian walk, God has a purpose. God has always a purpose. He works from and for eternity. And it could well be that hindrance or that difficulty that you are experiencing within your Christian pilgrimage, that within that God will do above and beyond that you could ever imagine. That's how God is always purposeful. And we will see that within these plagues that God reveals that he is preeminent, that he is all-powerful, that he does protect his people. If you go back to Exodus chapter 7, Exodus chapter 7 from verses 14 all the way down to verse number 25, we note here the first plague, where God turns water into blood, beginning with the Nile River. And note there in verse 19, please. Exodus 7:19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So here we have the first plague upon the land of Egypt, where God turns the waters into blood, beginning with the Nile River. Now in verses 15 to 18, God gives a warning via Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh at the Nile one morning. He doesn't listen. He refuses to release God's people. And we see that all water supplies were turned into blood. Now it's important that we understand the Nile River was sacred for the Egyptians. They worshipped the Nile River. Nile River was a god to the Egyptians. So God hit at the very heart of their worship by turning this river into blood and all water supplies into blood. The Nile was sacred to the Egyptians. And then from that initial plague, we read that Pharaoh doesn't let the people go. Note then verse 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And then we move into chapter 8 and we have the second plague, the plague of frogs. Chapter 8 verses 1 to 15, we have the plague of frogs. And once again, God gives warning from verses 2 to 4. It's interesting, with some of these plagues, God gives a warning. And with other plagues, it just happens. So once again, God gives a warning. If you do not let my people go, then your land will be overrun by frogs. Note then verse number 6, please, of chapter 8. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And then we read there in verse number 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. But did he let them go? Of course not. God removed the frogs, and then we read in verses 13 to 15 that when Pharaoh saw, verse 15, that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, frogs were not killed because they were considered sacred amongst the Egyptians. The goddess of birth to the Egyptians had a frog's head. And so they considered frogs sacred. They considered the Nile River sacred. And God proved that he was God and Lord of all. So they wouldn't kill frogs, and that's why the Bible says in verse number 14, they gathered them together upon heaps and the land stank because of all these dead frogs. But even that would not soften the heart of Pharaoh to let God's people go. And that leads us to the next plague. I'm just giving just a little summary. We don't have time to go into detail with each plague. The next plague is found from verses 16 to 19, the plague of lice. Now, with this plague, interestingly enough, there's no warning given, no warning given concerning this plague. And note then verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. What's Pharaoh's response? Note verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. The magicians had some common sense. They worked it out. This is beyond us. This is the finger of God. But note Pharaoh's response. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Set was the god of the desert. And God judged the Egyptians with a plague of lice. And beyond that, we continue on in chapter 8, and we note from verses 20 all the way down to 32, a plague of flies. But it's interesting that in verses 22 and 23, the Bible teaches us that where the Hebrews lived, there were no flies. Note then verse 22 and 23, that I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So we see here within these verses, from verses 20 to 23, a warning given to Pharaoh once again at the Nile concerning this plague of flies. But now with this, Pharaoh makes a suggestion. Note then verses 25 and 26, where he said to God's people, to Moses, why don't you just worship your God here in Egypt? So there's a bit of a compromise here. Look at verses 25 and 26. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? So Pharaoh just bends a little. But yet once again we read that he hardens his heart, and God determines to plague the Egyptians with flies. And this addressed a god known as the god Re, a sun god. And this sun god was represented by the fly. And God proved that he was more powerful. So once again, we read in verse number 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Neither would he let the people go. And that takes us to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, the death of livestock. The warning is given to Pharaoh. But God promised to protect the cattle of the Hebrews. We note that in verse number 4, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. But note verse 6, and the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. What's Pharaoh's response? Once again, he refuses to let God's people go. Note then verse 7, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. This Pharaoh is a hard nut. He's very stubborn. He's very obstinate. He just doesn't get it. The magicians tried to convince him, hey, this is beyond us. Just let them go. Let them go, please. But unfortunately, Pharaoh once again hardens his heart. The god Hathor, this God had a cow's head, and by God killing all the livestock there in Egypt, he was showing his preeminence and power over the God of the Egyptians, another God of the Egyptians. And then we come to chapter 9, verse number 8. Note then verse number 8, verses 8 to 12. We read of boils over all men and beasts in the land. Now, according to verses 11 and 12, no warning is given. And we read then verses 11 and 12 that the magicians were also afflicted with boils. But in verse 12, once again, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Pharaoh. And then from this plague, we move on to the next plague, the plague of hail and fire. And we read from verses 13 down to verse number 35. But yet God in his graciousness, he preserves the land of Goshen. Note there in verse number 26, it reads, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So in chapter 9, verse 13, God in his graciousness gives the warning, but yet it was not heeded. And we read in verse number 23 that Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. But note Pharaoh's response to this particular plague. He promises to let the people go if stopped, but, note there verse 27 and 28 of chapter 9. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, and Aaron said unto them, I have sinned this time. So it seems like Pharaoh is softening a little. The Lord is righteous. So this is sounding good. And I and my people are wicked. That's sounding very good, isn't it? Entreat the Lord, for it is enough. Wow, that's sounding great. Very promising. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. So this is sounding wonderful. But note what happens in verses 33 to 35. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go. And the Lord had spoken as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Pharaoh had a transparency problem, an integrity problem. He wasn't a man of his word. He would have made a good car salesman, eh? He just said what people wanted to hear, but didn't come up with the goods. Didn't come up with the goods. So God sends the next plague, and this leads us into chapter 10, the plague of locusts. And that takes us from chapter 10, verse 1, all the way through to verse number 20. Now God gives warning concerning this plague from verses 3 down to verse number 6. Note verse 15, please, of chapter 10. Concerning the plague of locusts. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees, nor in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Now, if you go back to verse number 11 and 12, the Bible reads, "Not so, go now ye that are men and serve the Lord." So here we see that with this plague, Pharaoh said, now, okay, the men can go. "Not so, go now ye that are men and serve the Lord, for that you did desire," and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So we see that there's an offer made by Pharaoh to just let the men go on their own at this particular time. Note the words of the servants there in verse number 7 of chapter 10. "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" So once again we see that people within Pharaoh's in contact with Pharaoh, try to encourage Pharaoh, just let them go. But once again, he hardens his heart. And this leads us to the final plague, the ninth plague, here in chapter 10, before the grand finale, the last plague, is recorded in chapters 11 and 12. This ninth plague is the plague of darkness. From chapter 10, verses 21 to 29. There's no warning given concerning this plague. Verse 21 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not, one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." So once again, we see that God looks after his people. And beloved, God will always look after his people, because God cares for us. And we see once again that God takes care of his people. God's people have light, but the Egyptians have no light. Have no light, the Bible teaches us. It was so dark that it was like a thickness, the Bible teaches us. But there was no warning given. And we see in verse number 24 concerning this particular plague that Pharaoh agrees to let the people go, but he said, leave your animals behind. Note then verse 24, "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Now, what's the point of that? Because from the start, God said concerning his people, "I want you to leave in order to worship." They needed animals to worship. So once again, Pharaoh is just not workable. Just not workable. The plague of darkness, plague number 9. And with this plague, Pharaoh, note there in verse number 27 to 29, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more." So Pharaoh said, "I don't want to see your face again." And Moses said, "I agree. I don't want to see your face again." There was a point of agreement. They finally agreed. There was final agreement. It took nine plagues. And finally, Pharaoh got to the point where he said to Moses, I don't want to see your face ever again. And Moses said, glory to God, I don't want to see your face ever again. We agree on this point. So with this plague of darkness, Pharaoh refuses to see Moses again. Now, in conclusion this evening, as we have noted these nine plagues, within each plague, God revealed that he is God Almighty. And God addressed specific gods that the Egyptians worship. Within every plague, there was an address of a God within the Egyptian mindset. See, the devil is powerful, but only God is all-powerful. He can do the impossible, and we need to trust him. Praise God for 1 John 4:4 that reads, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is powerful, but only God is all-powerful. And we are reminded within these plagues also of the sin of stubbornness. Note there in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's note what God has to say about stubbornness. And this is what we see in Pharaoh. He's stubborn, he's obstinate. And note here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23. In fact, let's read verse 22 as well. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Note verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Stubbornness is a sin and idolatry. Stubbornness is a sin and it is idolatry. That's a heavy statement. And the prophet Samuel said to Saul, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we see within these nine plagues that Pharaoh is stubborn, he's obstinate. And God tells us that stubbornness is sin. Stubbornness is like idolatry, the worship of false gods. And also within these nine plagues, I'm not only mindful of the fact that the devil is powerful, but God is all-powerful. We are sobered by the fact of stubbornness. But also we see within Pharaoh double-mindedness. A couple of times he got awfully close to letting God's people go. And the Bible teaches us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that was Pharaoh all over. He was unstable in all his ways. Water was turned into blood. There was a plague of frogs, plague of lice, plague of flies, death of livestock, boils over people and beasts, hail and fire, plague of locusts, and then thick darkness. And yet in all of that, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Stubbornness. And there were a couple moments that it seemed like he was bending, but yet the stubbornness kicked in. And how like you and I from time to time when God simply calls for obedience, that you and I can all of a sudden become stubborn Or we can promise obedience, but yet we become stubborn. So I see within Pharaoh that which you and I can be guilty of as well. But may I remind you, child of God, the Bible teaches us that stubbornness is iniquity and it's likened to idolatry. That's a heavy statement. That's a heavy statement. And may God cause us to obey Him. See, when the going gets tough, the tough keep going. The tough keep going. They keep going because they focus upon the Lord. They keep going because they know, well, this is what God wants me to do, and this is what I need to do. And even though there is opposition, and we see that in these initial 9 plagues, God manifested His power. And as we said initially, that within these plagues, God reveals not only His power, God reveals His wrath, God reveals that He is greater than any Egyptian god, and God assures His people that I love you, I will protect you, I will judge evildoers, I am Lord and God of all. So may God help us, empower us to just simply obey Him. Honor Him. And if God speaks, do it. Do it for His glory. And I trust that God would preserve you and I from the sin of stubbornness. And maybe God is calling you in some way to some task. Please don't be stubborn like Pharaoh of old. Now, God had a purpose in the stubbornness. Yes, the Bible teaches us that God hardened his heart, but yet Pharaoh, of his own volition, hardened his heart. And as God has a plan for you and as God has a plan for me, may God protect us from the sin of stubbornness. Because the Bible teaches us that stubbornness is iniquity and it's idolatry before God. May God learn from what God had to teach Pharaoh the hard way, that it doesn't pay to be stubborn. And even though at the end of it all, Pharaoh said to Moses, I don't want to see your face ever again. Well, that didn't solve anything, did it? Because plague number 10 is just around the corner. And by God's grace, we'll study that final plague in the coming week. Let's close our service in prayer.